And welcome back to the Home Improvement Show of the Midlands. Zipping through this Saturday morning with you, already into our final segment. And we welcome in Michael Nicholson, the co-owner of the Moving Squad, who is here to say...
Good morning, good moving, good morning.
There it is. How are you, brother?
Doing great. Yourself, sir?
I got no complaints, man. No complaints at all. If I did, you don't want to hear them, right?
That is correct.
The theme of this segment this morning with you, Mr. Nicholson, is... keeping yourself safe while moving, whether we're talking about keeping yourself healthy with this pandemic thing or keeping yourself safe and your stuff safe by working with reputable movers and some of the pitfalls that people are running into, we want to get to some of that. Is that cool with you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, let's start with the COVID thing. And I know from the get-go, you guys have instituted measures to not only keep your clients safe, but to keep your guys safe too. So let's talk a bit about some tips you have for moving safely in this COVID age.
Yes, sir. I will say, one of the first things I say to my customers, we all have families too. Last thing we want to do is bring something home to our families. So we're going to take measures, ourselves. Keeping your distance, making sure to monitor temps, general hygiene, wash your hands, don't touch your face. It's kind of weird when you go to meet someone and there's no more handshake or,
yeah, isn't it though?
Just kind of give the wave in the air to, hey, and it just still feels weird, but
yeah, it does.
Keeping airflow moving, just maintaining distance, we can still talk. We don't have to be right on top of each other. We can, still stand, 7-8 feet away and, keep our distances. A lot of times we'll go through and open up windows in the house, which just keeps air flowing.
Yes.
Air doesn't stay stagnant, stuff doesn't stay in one spot. And just making sure to monitor, your health at the same time.
And specifically, what are you doing with your crews to be sure that everybody stays safe?
Well, we have a temp log every morning and every evening that we run through at the mm-hmm. beginning and end of every day.
Good.
We are getting tested. I'm testing all the guys roughly about every 3 weeks.
Really?
Just to make sure to stay on top of it. Well, from a legal standpoint, that's something I can't afford to happen.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And, just staying on top of the guys, making sure they're making good decisions that with their home life and just... doing the right thing, being responsible to everyone else around us.
I wonder that you bring it up, how many small businesses are doing what you're doing? Because, not to get political, but there are, Republicans want this, this liability thing when it comes to COVID-19, done away with, you can't be held liable for it. I've always argued, how would you really be able to prove where you got it if you got it? But still.
Well, as a lot of times just the accusation is enough.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. Well,
I can certainly tell you, running a three-level home, a third floor apartment, wearing a mask isn't easy.
Oh, I bet not, huh? Well, maybe, a weekend like this with our temperatures, maybe a little easier.
Well, a lot of it depends on our customers. If we're dealing with an older customer, wearing masks.
Sure.
If a customer wants us to be in a mask, we're in mask. We have face shields as well.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on which crew you get, some like the face shield, some like the mask. And just doing, making sure we do our part.
I got to tell you, you mentioned, you don't have to be up in somebody's face to talk. That reminds me of, we all know somebody in our life who used to always wanted to get, right in your face to talk. Maybe we won't have to deal with that anymore ever again. Maybe that's something good to come out of this.
That is true. That's very true.
My goodness. Now, these days, funny, we were this past week on Columbia's Morning News, it had mentioned, a couple of times about social media. And there are good things that come out of social media, but there are also plenty of bad things that come out of it as well. But our focus wasn't on what we want to talk about this morning, and that is the social media aspect of finding a mover, because that's becoming a bigger and bigger thing, like with everything else in life, I guess.
Yes, sir. Certainly spending more time on social media than, you know, we did, you know, 5-6 years ago.
So,
but yeah, I would say, you know, with social media, you know, people can misrepresent themselves very easily. And so,
no, get out of here with that. Really?
Yes, sir. And I always tell everybody, you know, talk to 3 or 4 different companies, get at least a minimum of 3 quotes, 3 estimates, you know, is the estimate binding? You know, if you've got that too good to be true quote, there's probably a reason why it's probably not true. They're just trying to, you know, get your business. And then once they get you loaded, you know, in the state, once your items are on my truck, I have control of your items.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they'll, you know, they'll try to beat you up on a bill that way. So you just, you know, look at the track record, look for reviews, you know, are they accredited with the BBB? You know, have they been around for a while? Are they in Placker trucks? Are they in rental trucks? You know, just do your due diligence, you know, make sure to look. And I always say, please ask for the Accord form. The Accord form is a form that lists all of our insurances out,
mm-hmm.
all of our maximums, minimums, you know, the umbrellas, you know, COI, a certificate of insurance. But, you know, any of us should be willing to provide that, you know, really quickly.
I want to get back to that in a minute, Michael, but let's back up for mm-hmm. a second, because there are a legitimate social platforms out there that much like in a lot of businesses are kind of getting into the business of trying to almost broker moves. Is that right?
Yes, sir, there are. I was actually surprised this past week. I went on to one that we kind of use, and they've now switched their platform over to a bidding type setup for moving companies to bid on people who come in and put stuff on. And that's where you see the brokers just go crazy in there.
Folks who aren't familiar with, I think we all know what a broker is, but talk about that process and how prevalent is that, and what does it mean to the consumer?
Well, I guess the biggest part of what it means to the consumer is that you have no clue who is bidding on your move, and by bidding on your move, I mean bidding on the opportunity to get your name and phone number. You know, they'll kind of advertise your job a little bit, but then they'll, okay, well, you know, give me $120 and I'll give you this customer's name and phone number. I will say, if you do fill out a form online and then next thing you know, your phone or your email blows up,
mm-hmm.
you just went through a broker site just like that.
And as far as the cost of a move when a broker gets involved, how does that impact the consumer?
Well, I would say, yes, sir. If a broker gets involved, let's say if a customer booked me for, you know, a 4-hour, 3-man job, you know, that's $520. A broker is going to take my rate and then add another $300 to $400 onto it, and that's what they're going to bill you.
That much?
Well, they have to pay for their marketing and advertising. You know, when you do a search and you got that little ad box, you know, each one of those clicks, especially with the generic term moving, that's a $12 pay-per-click word. So they have to get their money from somewhere.
Would it be fair to say that if someone who's looking for a mover were to go onto one of these social sites or anywhere on the internet and you know, get involved with this sort of thing that way to try to find quote unquote the best deal, that you're going to maybe wind up actually working through a brokerage firm and paying more than you need to if you just contacted the company directly? Is that fair to say?
Yes, so that is very much fair to say. And then the other part of that is you have no clue what requirements that broker has to hire a moving company. Is it just, you know, 2 guys in a pickup truck, you know, that when they're not working the normal job will come out and do stuff? Are they landscapers that go, oh, we're going to be a mover today? You know, really make sure to check the licenses, check the insurances, because you have to be protected. There's so many, you know, moving is an imperfect science. There's so many things that can go wrong. And if you're not protecting yourself or dealing with a reputable company that will protect you, then you're really opening yourself up to a lot of liability. I mean, you know, homeowner's insurance, you know, somebody's injured on your property. And, you know, if one of my guys is ever injured and my workers' comp is not active and up to date, then that person is going to come after the homeowner to, you know, to fix them. And there's a lot of savory people out there that would, you know, love to sue a ham sandwich.
So you work through one of these sites, you never really know what you're going to get. You're going to probably wind up paying more than you could have had you contacted a mover directly. And what happens? I mean, what are the? Let me ask you this: if you wind up hiring a company this way through a brokerage firm, and it's not a licensed mover, number one, is that illegal in this state?
If you are going from one municipality to another, yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
Which I would tell you, 85% of moves are from one municipality to another. Very rarely does somebody stay inside the same municipality.
So how do these brokerage firms get away with, you know, hooking you up with a potentially illegal mover? There's an
another
course there.
Well, they're in another state, one, and two, they're just hoping they don't get caught.
Okay.
Because technically speaking, the person that's going to get in trouble is the person on site, not the brokerage company that's in New Jersey or wherever.
Which begs the question. So you've gone through one of these outfits. They said, okay, here's company XYZ is gonna your move for you. And so maybe you've heard us talking about this before here on the Home Improvement Show of the Midlands, and you're thinking, okay, I want to be sure this is a legitimate licensed mover. What does somebody need to do?
ORS-SC.gov, and I use the top right search bar, and just type in moving companies, and you'll go to household movers that are approved. You know, there's 127 of us now in the state of South Carolina, and that's it. But I'll tell you, if you look online, you would think there's, you know, 300 to 400 companies out there. The biggest thing is, you know, when you call, do they answer the phone? You know, how many different company names have you been told? Because if you go to a broker, they're going to have one name, and then you're going to see a different name show up at your door.
Right.
Or, you know, contact you the day before, just verifying the information as far as addresses, things of that nature. But
okay, so just, let's say
multiple calls.
Okay, so let's say you've hired, you know, unbeknownst to you, a company that's not licensed to operate in our state. And I say a company, maybe it's just a couple of individuals, what have you, and something happens to your stuff. Is that any different than if you had hired a licensed mover and something happened to your stuff? As far as the...
That is 100% different. If they're not licensed, then you're going to... It's up to you and going to small claims court to try to do something for yourself. If it's a licensed mover, you simply call the ORS and they take care of you.
Oh. So now the onus is on you to have to go through all the hassle of small claims.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's kind of a big deal.
The ORS will help make sure that you get to a satisfactory ending.
That's if you use a licensed mover.
Yes, that's if you're a licensed mover. If you're an unlicensed mover, they'll give that unlicensed mover a ticket, but that's it. As far as if you want to get anything that's going to make you whole, I mean, you know, if you're a 3-bedroom house and two of your beds are broken and your dining room table and one of your couches are damaged and then you got a couple of holes in the wall, you know, it's going to be a long day.
What about if this unlicensed mover moves your goods across state line? The feds
well,
get involved?
Then you go away from the state regulations and you go to the USDOT household good movers regulations, which they're a lot more vague. It's more about the contract is set up ahead of time than it is about, you know, rules and regulations, because with all the different states, because with the USDOT, you know, it handles all 48 states there as far as moving. And so a lot of it's pretty vague. There's not state-specific stuff. It's all about the contract there.
So the DOT doesn't handle what, Alaska and Hawaii? You said 48.
Well, when you do move in there, typically you got to go intermodal. So you fall under some shipping rules, which come into play.
Just thought I'd ask. And you mentioned the contract, Michael. Listen, most people, you look at a contract, number one, you got no idea what you're looking at, right?
Take the time and read it. I'm telling you, take the time and read it.
What are the things you need to be sure that are in that contract?
Well, the biggest thing you want to look for is, you know, if you need to cancel or reschedule, what are your time frames? What are your time limits? What are your penalties? The next one is that What is the company expecting you to have done upon moving, you know, loading day, coming to load you? Are you supposed to have everything packed? Will they come in and pack you? And then as far as looking at the type of estimate you're given, is it just an estimate and there's no limits based on it? Is it a not to exceed estimate? Is it a firm number? Now, I will say there is no company in the state of South Carolina that's licensed that has a not to exceed line on their tariff. So none of us can give you that. Now, if you are crossing state lines, then yes, we can. But, okay. You know, there's a lot of things that come into play as far as just access, elevation, having to do with disassembly, reassembly. And so a lot of those things, you know, is the customer expected to do that, or is the company going to take care of it? Is it in writing somewhere? I can tell you with all my contracts, it's all of that is in writing, and it's the, you know, same one. I don't have one that I curtail.
All right. Always,
you know, each individual person.
Always good info, as always, because yeah, we want to make sure you're protected when you come to something you don't do every day, you know, and that is moving everything you own. I mean, we don't want you to fall in any of these traps. Michael, thank you, buddy. The Moving Squad, how can folks reach you guys?
As always, 915 Squad. That's 915-7782. Of course, that's 803. The website, MovingSquadSC for SouthCarolina.com. As always, 9859 is our PSCORS number.
There you have it. All right, Michael, have a great weekend, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary. God bless.